Numbers 13. And we're going to look at another mindset that I think will help us, a biblical mindset, help each and every one of us. We're going to talk about the importance of courage and being courageous. And there's a other side to that coin. Here's the title, Cowardice or Courage. Cowardice or Courage. You have to make a choice in life how you're going to live your life. And, well, preacher, how can I be more courageous? How can I be less fearful? We're going to give you a great formula, I promise you. What we're going to teach you this morning will help you. It's so simple and so easily applied, but it's so easy for us to get in the wrong mindset when we look at the challenges of life and the circumstances of life. So in Numbers chapter number 13, verse number 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel, of every tribe of their fathers. Shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them? So here's the plan. The Lord said, I'm going to give you this land. God's already promised it to them. But he said, I want you to take one of the heads of every tribe, and I want you to set him aside. I want you to make a little search party out of them. I want them to go. And not, by the way, they weren't sent to decide whether or not they should go into the land of Canaan. God had already commanded them, already promised it was theirs. They were just there to search it out and to decide what would be the best battle plan, the best way to accomplish what the Lord had told them to do. And so then in verse number 4, we'll say more about this through 16. I won't try to read all of them, but they even name every single one of them. By the way, that's important. I don't know if 10 of them are real happy that their name's in the Bible today. I know two of them's pretty happy that their name's in the Bible, because two of them decided to have a courageous mentality and 10 of them decided to have a coward's mentality when it came to stepping forward and doing what God had called them to do. And so we'll talk more about that. And then if you'll go over to verse number 25, we'll read the rest of the story, verse number 25. And they returned from searching the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel until the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Now think about the phrases as we're reading this. They are stronger than who? Than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight. Boy, isn't that interesting, the phrases. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. It's kind of an interesting two phrases there we'll look at. Heavenly Father, bless us, Lord. It's going to take more and more courage, dear God, to publicly and unashamedly stand up for Jesus. It's going to take more courage to stand for the principles and precepts of the Bible. Lord, our nation, at least a segment of it, is in full attack mode when it comes to the attacking things that are holy and sacred and biblical and blessed. And so, Lord, we're going to have to exercise more courage in the days to come. So, Lord, we need this lesson. And, Lord, we need to have our courage bolstered. And, Lord, to be willing to stand up for you and to do the things that you've called us to do. And so, Lord, may this lesson be a benefit to all, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So much of success or failure in life is based on how you choose to view a situation. Well, I'm going to ask that the Lord and the Holy Spirit help you to take the principles. And, you know, I don't know what's going on in your life, and I don't know what you're facing, but I hope the Lord will just take these things, put them right into where you live, and help you today. But most battles are not fought on the battlefield. But I believe most battles are lost or won before the battle begins. I believe they're lost or won in your mind, not on the battlefield. It's almost impossible to stop a Christian who has developed a spiritual mind. It's almost impossible to help a Christian who's developed a carnal mind or a carnal, earthly way of thinking. Let me say it this way. You will never live a victorious Christian life until you begin to think like a victorious Christian. Right. Well, that's so important. One of the ingredients necessary to win great victories for the Lord is that of courage. Amen. If a Christian lacks courage, then he will fail to seize most of the opportunities that God gives him. And I think when we get to heaven and we stand for the judgment seat, how many of us are going to have to review opportunities? I mean, where God kicked a door wide open and we could have and should have went through it. But you know what? Because of our fears, we did not go and accomplish what God wanted us to accomplish. If a Christian lacks courage, then he will fail to seize most of the opportunities that God gives him. If a Christian is controlled by fear, then that fear will turn him or her into a coward instead of a champion for the Lord. Maybe I can get somebody to get me a bottle of water if I get somebody to do that for me. Thanks, Brother Ryan. I appreciate it. I'm grumbling and growling again. The Bible has much to say about the importance of courage. Let me just read some verses to you. Numbers 13:20. For what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be woods therein or not, and be ye of good courage and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. And we find that in our text chapter. When they were sent in, they said, don't worry about what the land looks like. Just be of a good courage. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. Now, folks, we're getting into it here. We're not talking about courage based on our own strength. We're not talking about courage based on our abilities. What does he say here? He it is that doth go with thee. The Lord thy God, he will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Deuteronomy 31:6. The next verse, Deuteronomy 31:7. Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people into the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. Deuteronomy 31:23. And he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. Joshua 1:6. And again, a lot of this is Moses exhorting Joshua, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. By the way, all of these verses on courage happens 40 years later. You know why? Because 40 years before, 10 men decided to take the mentality of a coward instead of the mentality of a champion. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Folks, listen to me. If you know that it's God's will and it's the right thing to do, and you know and have the peace that God wants you to do it, then you can do it because he's not going to send you by yourself. Right. I believe what God calls you to do, he equips you to do, and you know what? He won't send you, he'll go with you, and you know what? That ought to bring a spirit of courage into the ranks of Christianity today. Amen. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 30. And David said to Solomon, his son, here's another leader passing the baton, be strong and of a good courage and do it. Do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And here's a wonderful verse to memorize if you struggle some in this area. Psalms 27:14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, before I get into the lesson this morning, let me take this thought of courage a step further, okay? There's a story where David is in Ziklag, and I know he's out of the will of the Lord, and because of that, he suffers a setback. But when a man or a woman or a teenager or a child even exhibits courage for the Lord, they instantly become an encourager. And you remember the story of Ziklag, and I'm going to all the background of it, but David and his men, they come to Ziklag, and the Amalekites had invaded from the south while they were gone, and they smote Ziklag, burned it with fire, and they took captive the women and the children, and they didn't kill anybody, just took them all into slavery. And we get into 1 Samuel chapter 30. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep, and David's two wives were taken captive. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because of the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his son, for his daughter. Then it goes on to say this, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. David stood up in a moment of great discouragement. You know what he did? He first encouraged himself. And then because he spoke and laid out a plan that was courageous and daring, guess what? Soon he not only encouraged himself, but he encouraged those around him. I think courage is such an important attribute because so many people lack it. Right. And you know what? A lot of folks will go if someone will lead them, will step forward if someone steps forward first. And I'm not saying that that's the way we should be, but I want to tell you this. If you will be courageous, you're going to help other people who lack courage. If you will speak up for the Lord, you're going to help others speak up who might not have. Amen. If you step out to do something for the Lord, you know what? You may encourage someone else who's hesitant, who's been waiting to step out also. And so I think one of the most important things that we need to develop in our Christian life is this matter of courage. A man of courage is always an encouragement to those around him. Now think about this. As much as that is true, sadly, a man of cowardice can also have an equally negative effect on those around him. And we're going to see that played out in this story. In the story we found in Numbers chapter 13, we're introduced to 12 men. All these men were men of renown. All were leaders in Israel. Leaders in Israel. By the way, all of them worshipped the same God. All of them had the presence of the same God. All were faced with the same enemy, the same opposition. Yet 10 were cowardice and 2 were courageous. 10 were retreaters and 2 were advancers. 10 were negative and 2 were positive. 10 predicted failure and 2 predicted victory. 10 said, no, we can't. And you know what 2 of them said? Yes, we can. We can with God's help. You remember the children's song, you know, 12 men went to spy in Canaan. 10 were bad and 2 were good. Well, why were they bad and why were they good? Well, 10 were bad thinkers and 2 were good thinkers. Right. 10 had a bad way of viewing opposition. 2 had a good way of viewing opposition. 10 had a bad defeatist attitude, and 2 had a good overcomer's attitude. And again, I'll draw your attention back to verse number 4 in Numbers 13, verse 4. If you drop all the way down through verse number 15, we have a list of these men. Each of the men is named, each man is named, and then the tribe that he's associated with. And again, I won't take the time to read all of those names out loud, but you say, preacher, why would God record them in the Bible? Well, first of all, God decided he was going to put their names in the eternal, think about this, in God's eternal record, in his eternal word. And folks, listen to me. If I'm going to stand for the Lord one of these days, I'd like to stand amongst those that were courageous for the Lord. I would hate to be named with the cowards. And so one of the reasons they're in there and where they ought to be read is because it's part of God's eternal word. How about this? It's a reminder that there are the books in heaven. There are books in heaven that have a record of our lives, and they're being recorded also. One of these days we'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Our names will one day be called to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We will either gain rewards or lose rewards based on the courage we showed or the cowardice that overtook us. Think of that. You know, if we accomplish great things for the Lord, we're going to need this matter of courage and to be courageous. Folks, listen to me. I feel like that the world and the wicked are as courageous as ever. Nothing's holding them back. They'll jump up, shout their wickedness from the rooftops. It seems like too many Christians are cowering over in the shadows, afraid to open their mouth, afraid to step up for the Lord, afraid to speak out when you ought to speak out. And folks, listen to me. If they have freedom of speech, we have freedom of speech also. But we have something far more than what's granted to us in the Constitution of the United States. We have the obligation that's been levied upon us by the word of God to stand up for the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The Bible says we should earnestly contend for the faith. Earnestly contend for the faith. So it's not time to get quiet. Come on, it's not time to back up. It's not time to retreat. Not time to circle the wagons. Look to the heavens and pray for Jesus to come. I think the Church of Jesus Christ needs to be an advancing army right now. So this lesson will help us in that. You say, preacher, could you just boil it down? What is the difference between the 10 men that's standing over here and the 2 men that's standing over here? I believe it's all explained for us in the last 2 verses that I read in Numbers chapter 13. Let's go back and look at chapter number 13 and verse number 32 and verse number 33. Numbers 13, 32, and 33. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. You know how you view yourself is going to be the same way the world views you? Think about that. That's what they said right there. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers, so we were in their sight as grasshoppers. And so the way you view yourself is the way the world's going to view you. How are you viewing yourself? 10 of the leaders. Now listen carefully, because here's the key. And this is the shifting of an entire mindset that turns somebody from being a coward to courageous. Listen to this. 10 of the leaders of Israel had a faulty way of thinking. By the way, this faulty way of thinking always results in cowardice. This faulty way of thinking produces a defeatist attitude and resulted in them losing heart, losing faith, and eventually losing a great opportunity to be heroes in Israel. They had a loser mentality and it spread like wildfire throughout the people. Now, this is their mentality. Let me break it down. Here's a wrong way of thinking or a cowardice way of thinking. Number one, see the size of the opposition or the obstacle. So number one, they saw the size of the opposition or the obstacle. Number two, they compared themselves to the opposition or the obstacles. Now, they saw the size of the opposition and the obstacles, and they begin to compare themselves to that. You know, man alive, look at the giants and look at us. Look at the walled cities and look at us. Look at the land that eateth up the inhabitants and look at us. If you do those two things, you'll see yourself as a grasshopper. By the way, your opposition will then see you as you see yourself. And by the way, the result of that will be you will turn back like a grasshopper fleeing from the giants.
Right.
And that's exactly what they did. Why? Very simple. Because they saw the size of the opposition and they compared it to who? Themselves. Now, two leaders of Israel had what I call a faith formula. By the way, that always equals a yes, I can mentality. Two leaders of Israel had a faith way of thinking. This faith thinking produced a courage in their lives. It resulted in an I can do all things through Christ mentality. This proper mindset produced confidence instead of cowardice and propelled them forward instead of sending them scurrying backwards in fear. And these two men spend the rest of their time in the annals of Israel's history as heroes. And God even allowed them, spared them the 40 years of wilderness journey and rewarded them an opportunity to do what they wanted to do 40 years before, but they were outvoted. Now think about this. Well, what was the difference? They also saw the size of the opposition or the size of the obstacles, but instead of comparing the opposition to themselves, they compared the opposition or the obstacle to God. Now notice how subtle that is, but what a difference it makes.
Yes, sir.
10 people said, there's giants. Then they went and looked in the mirror. Two of them went and said, there's giants. Then they looked up towards God.
Amen.
Now think about that. You see yourself as a servant of our great and powerful God. They saw themselves as grasshoppers. You know what? Caleb and Joshua said, we serve God, the great God of Israel.
Amen.
You know what? Your opposition will begin to see you as you see yourself. And the next thing you know, these two men were ready to march in. They were ready to go. Let's do it. You know why? Because our God is greater than any giant. Our God, think about it, is greater than any obstacle. Our God can come up with a formula we can't even imagine. They couldn't imagine, but you know what? Read on in Joshua. To take down those walled cities, God can overcome all of those obstacles. And the difference is so simple, folks. You know what? Are you going to look at the obstacle that the devil's put in front of you or the opposition that the devil's put in front of you? Are you going to compare that to you or are you going to compare that to God? Because it makes all the difference in the world. We've got some young people, four of them now, they're getting ready to head off to Bible college here. And let me just say we're praying for each and every one of you. I think Samuel already went, didn't he? And the rest of them's going this week. And boy, I kind of dropped the ball with everything going on. We're going to have a table set up in the next couple of weeks. I think Cheryl may be deciding to do this through the ladies' fellowship night. But one way or another, we're going to give everybody in the church an opportunity to bring a card and maybe some gift cards and just a note of appreciation. We'll put them all in a box. So we'll let you get settled in Bible college. Don't quit for at least 2 weeks because you don't want to miss your box. Listen, I watched a lot of people come and go in Bible college. You know, some folks showed up at Bible college and they looked at the schedule and they looked at the bills coming in and they looked at all that it was going to take. And you know what they did? They compared that to what they thought they could do and they said, I can't. And you know what, folks? As long as you view that to you, you're right, you can't. But you know what? You got to view it and compare it to the Lord. And you know what? God can help you do whatever he's called you to do. I think one of the best things that the Lord allowed me to be a part of in Bible college was the inner city Chicagoland bus ministry while I was up there in the bus routes. And folks, listen to me, for our kid from Jacksonville, Indiana, to be throwing the mix of that. And next thing you know, there's gangs and there's graffiti and there's drugs and there's every type of debauchery and wickedness. And here we're supposed to show up into the midst of all this sinfulness, and we're supposed to come in here. We're supposed to try to talk some of these people into coming to church and try to win them to Christ and try to make a difference in their life. And folks, if I'd have went into inner city Chicago and compared it to Jerry Ross, you know what? I'd have looked at myself like a grasshopper.
Right.
But you know what? It's a wonderful thing when you're just too young and dumb and just have enough faith in the Lord just to say, hey, if God's called us to do this, we can do it. Let's just go. Come on, 1, 2, 3, let's go. Just roll up your sleeves and get in the middle of it and go. And it's amazing how when you view things and compare them to the Lord, you know, how all of a sudden your entire view of things change. I watch these young missionaries that we have come in here, and I love the mission. I love every single missionary that we have. I feel like we've got such great missionaries that we're supporting, so worthy of the sacrifice. And by the way, I know people in this church sacrifice so that we can support the ministries that we do. And I read every letter, and I'm in contact with them on a regular basis. And I'll be honest with you, they're champions, man. They are champions. But you think about that. At some point, a young married couple looked at each other, both knowing, both being convinced of God's calling upon their lives, and all of a sudden they find themselves at an altar, standing up before God's people, saying, God has called us to, name the country. You know, I think of Tony Wood, my dear friend, and him and his wife, and here they are, 18 years senior pastor in Campbell, Missouri, and looks like they're in a place they're going to be the rest of their life, and it looks like the God's got everything set up and planned, and they've raised their kids, and they're just getting ready to get into that next phase of clipping coupons. They've been there long enough to really start seeing God do some things, and all of a sudden, the two of them know that God wants them to head to where? He called me up and said, I need to talk to you. Why? Oh, I think I'm going to resign my church. No, you're not. Stop. No, I think God wants us to go to the Middle East. No, Brother Tony, you're confused. Don't make any decisions till I get there, all right? And Jerry Ross drove over to talk to him, and I spent several hours talking to him, and at the end of that conversation, was convinced in my heart that this was of the Lord. And by the way, that's not a bad thing. I think a good friend always wants to make sure that if a man's making a huge decision, multitude of counselors are safety, and sometimes you want to be that one that pushes back a little bit. And he'll tell you when he's here. I think he told you when he was here. He said, Brother Ross came back all the way to Missouri to talk me out of this. And no, I didn't necessarily come to talk him out of it, but I wanted to make sure he was thinking clearly and it was of the Lord. And you know what? Here they go. You say, what possesses someone to do that? I mean, the Middle East? Well, it all depends on how you look at it. If it was just Tony and Trish Wood, then I'd say, y'all are grasshoppers, you're in trouble. But if I compare what's over there to Tony and Trish Wood's God, I'd say, you're going to be okay. You're going to be just fine. God's going to take good care of you. And you think about that. Without God, you're facing giants. Listen to this. Without God, you're facing giants. With God, you're facing grasshoppers. Okay? Without God, you're facing giants. You'll spend your whole life scared of the giants. But with God, you realize, compared to God, they're the grasshoppers. Isn't that good? So, I don't know what you're facing today. You know, maybe it's the giant of school. For some of our kids this week, they had to face the giant of algebra, the giant of geometry, giant of English. Help us, Jesus, you know. Maybe, a giant of some personal doubt, some fear. Maybe it's a giant of, there's a lot of this, and some folks battle it more than others, depression, discouragement. Maybe it's a giant of physical pain, sickness. Preacher, I hurt all the time. Maybe it's a giant of declining health. I don't know, but you're going to have to make a choice. You can compare that giant to you, and you're going to feel like a grasshopper. Or you know what? You can compare that giant to God, and then you know what you'll do? You'll take heart. You'll see yourself as a child of God. You know what? All I need to do is just stay close to Him. I just need to stay close to the Lord. And you know what? As long as I stay close to the Lord, then I'm going to be just fine, because it's not my battle anyway. It's the Lord's. And folks, just learn to give things over to God. You know, preacher, I don't know how I'm going to win this. Well, I don't either, but I know that God could win it. And just learn to hand it to the Lord, to cast your care upon Him, for that He cares for you. Watched a lot of people in our church have to face a lot of giants. A lot of people in our church have to face a lot of health issues through the years. Aren't you glad we can pray one for another? Isn't that good? But you know what? If you're not careful, you're going to let that illness in your life become a giant and you're going to become the grasshopper. Or you can let that illness, you can compare that to Almighty God and you can realize that that illness is just a grasshopper. And you know what? God's the giant. You know, I guess we could take some lessons from someone who actually faced a giant. You know, so let's go over to 1 Samuel chapter 17 for the last 7 minutes or so of our lesson. 1 Samuel chapter 17, maybe we could take some lessons from a guy that looked across a valley and saw a giant, but also didn't forget how great his God was. The very familiar story, of course, we won't read all of it, but I love when David shows up to Samuel. Okay, David's been talking it up and asking people, is there not a cause? And asking about who's going to do something about it. So problem is, you keep talking like a hero, you may have to back that up. And so verse 31, and when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. Isn't that interesting? There's a young boy that showed up with some bread and cheese to give to his brothers. He's not even in the army, but he's over there telling everybody that with God's help, we can win this thing. And he said, go get that boy. Verse 32, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Now, again, folks, watch this. What about David's brothers? Come on, I'm going to put King Saul on the spot. What about King Saul? Okay, he was head and shoulders above all the rest in Israel. He was the closest thing Israel had to a giant. Right. Think about it, as far as physical stature, where are you at? And you know what? Where's the rest of the army of Israel? Folks, look right up here. I don't want you to spend your life being like these soldiers. I don't want you to spend your life every time a Goliath steps out and starts bad-mouthing you and bad-mouthing your God, that you shrink over into the bushes and you hide behind the hills and the trees. I don't want you to live your life like that. We need Davids. We're going to need in these last days, some of you young couples and some of you young men, young ladies, we're going to need young people to stand up and be Davids right. In a very difficult time. Because I don't know what the Lord tarries 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years, but if wickedness advances as much during the next 30 years as it has the last 30 years, can you imagine where we'll be? So you know what? It's going to take courage. And just make up your mind, okay? I'm going to stop looking at the Goliath in my life and seeing him compared to me, and I'm going to compare him to God, and I'm just going to look at life differently. And that's what David comes in. You may say, well, this is youthful bravado. No, I think it's just faith. He just believed in God. Right. And so we read in verse 33, and Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. What is Saul doing right there? What is he doing? He's making a comparison between Goliath and who? David. Saul, that is not who you need to be comparing Goliath to. He's got the same faulty thinking that those 10 spies had back in Numbers. Verse 34, and David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went up out after them and smote them, delivered out of their mouth. When he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be one as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. And so David decided, you know what, you can compare me to Goliath, and you may think that this is a mismatch. But he said, I'm comparing Goliath to God, and I think it's a mismatch too. I'm just seeing the results a whole lot different than you are. So you know what, he gave him the green light go, and here we go. You look on verse number 40, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistines, and the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare his shield went beforehand. There's David in his shepherd's garb. David with a sling. He's got a leather pouch with five rocks in it and a sling in his hand. And here we see Goliath walking down in all of his armor with a man that carries just his shield in front of him. And if anybody's looking at this and they have an earthly viewpoint, they're saying, you know what? This isn't even a match. But you know what? David looked at things differently. Verse 43, and the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his little g gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear, with a shield, and I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. And I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And there it is, folks. There's that faith. There's that different mindset. There's that confidence. There's that courage. Why? Because God was going to be with him, and he believed it with all of his heart. If he didn't believe it, folks, no way he would have ever walked into that valley. Not just carrying a sling and five stones. And you know what? He says in verse 47, all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you unto our hand. Listen, I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know what life's going to throw at you this week. I don't know what God's going to ask you to face before your time on earth is done here, but I can promise you this. If you'll have a victor's mentality about it, if you'll take whatever opposition is out there and you'll compare them to what you know about Almighty God in this book, you know what? You can walk into that battle with courage. But if you get a wrong thinking, and you start comparing the opposition or the obstacle to yourself or to anything on this earth, you know what? Pretty soon, you're going to see yourself as a grasshopper, and you're going to see them as the giant. But if you'll look up at God and compare him to God, you'll see God as the giant. You'll see them as the grasshopper. This is called victorious Christian thinking. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for helping, Lord, me to teach this lesson today, Lord. And I pray, dear God, that it's helped somebody here that's maybe facing something that's a challenge to them. Use the word of God in our lives to make us more courageous for you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.